today. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Thank you for the privilege that we're in a country and in a situation, in a condition in our lives where we can receive the word on many different levels. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the interest of your word that gives light and understanding. We thank you, for Father God, for illumination, divine revelation, insights, understanding, concepts of your word, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We receive your word. We declare that we have eyes to see and ears to hear this morning. We thank you that our heart is open and receptive to your word, like a love letter talking directly to us. So we receive your word, Lord, personally and profitably in Jesus' name. We thank you that the word will be confirmed with signs and wonders following in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we're expecting to receive, Lord, today. We're expecting to see, believe, and receive your word and your Holy Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're talking about vision 2026. Everybody say this with me. See it. Believe it. Build it. Look it to somebody else as you turn it to Jeremiah 1. Say, see it. Believe it. Build it. Now look at somebody else and smile real nice to them and say, see it. Believe it. Build it. Now, I want to tailor it today. We'll pick it up part two next week. But I want to tailor it today with specific faith actions that you are to do to see it, to believe it. How many of you know driving blind in a car is very dangerous? Y'all believe that? So, and driving in your car and trying to drive through your rearview mirror is also dangerous. I got one amen to that. You can't drive forward looking backwards, right? So we want to drive ahead and see ahead and see what God wants us and has for us personally. And then we come together as a group, as a church. But today we want to orient it more so your personal vision that you must see, believe, and build. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, so I'm going to start with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read all the way through verse 19, okay? Everybody good? Everybody have it? All right, so one of the habits we want to bring is if you can't work your device very well, bring your Bible like this. Everybody comes to church with their Bible. Amen. So we'll get you hooked up to a YouVersion, but sometimes, you know, your phone might be working, the app may be off track or something, but bring your Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so then the word of the Lord came to me. But this is God talking to him. Now think of this as God talking to you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord, oh God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hands and touched my mouth. As we take communion today, we're asking the Lord, and we want you to invite the Lord, touch my mouth. Touch my mouth for 2026. Amen. And he touched his mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Then see that I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, for our authority and our acceleration and our elevation in the name of Jesus. To put root out and pull down, and to destroy, to throw down, and to build, to plant. Say it with me again. See it, believe it, build it. Moreover, verse 13. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. Amen. Isn't that good? And the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come out, each one set his throne. And at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against the walls all around, and against the cities of Judah, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all the wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourselves. God's already got a plan, got things in motion for this year. What does he want us to do? Look at everybody say, prepare myself. Prepare myself. Again, when we take communion, when we break the bread and drink the wine, we want to say, prepare me for this year, for what you have for me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he says, arise. Everybody say, arise. What does arise mean? It means to change your posture and your position. So you got to be willing to change at the speed of your destiny and destination in God. You got to be willing to change at the speed of your destiny and your destination in God. In other words, you got to be able to change your posture and change your position. Our word prophetically for our core team, our lead team, is step up. That's also inherited for our church. So God is requiring us to change in order to step up to new places, new graces, and be able to minister to new faces. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, arise. Tell somebody else, you need to arise and speak to them all that I command you. Now, God is making this personal. Do not be dismayed of their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I made you this day a fortified city, and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. The call that was to Jeremiah contains some of the basic elements of other Old Testament callings like Moses and Gideon and Ezekiel and Isaiah. And we can see some of those contexts. They get a vision, a message from God, and then they get commissioned for a specific task. They get a vision, which is a message from God, a missional assignment from God, and then they get a commission to do a specific task, and then an objective. Every one of them, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Gideon, and Moses said to God, I'm not good enough to do this. I don't want to do this. Just like Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I'm inadequate. So they kind of objected first. So when we take communion today, we're going to get rid of all objections. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too not educated. I get too flustered. I get this. I get that. We're going to ground that today at the beginning of the year. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've been too bad, or whatever the case may be. See, promises of God's protection and enablement. He says, how many times he says, I in these verses? Amen. He uses the prominent pronoun I in reference to the Lord. He says, I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you, I send you, I command you, I will be with you. I want you to receive that this morning. So when God is telling you and showing you something about your destiny, your destination, your duties, responsibilities as he's commissioned you for this year, I want you to say, see that God is saying with that, I formed you. I'm ordaining you. I've called you. I will be with you. Praise God. I'll not forsake you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So much like Jeremiah's call, our Father God both carries and calls us into the new year and new season of our lives. The Lord promises and provides for us our new and next season. Our job is to submit, to surrender to his divine call, and stir up the gifts placed inside of us through Jesus Christ. One of the great advantages we have is we have the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got the greatest help we ever need living on the inside of us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so we have to give God today a big yes. Everybody say yes. Yes. Everybody say yes, Lord. Yes. We got to say yes to God. Say yes to your will. Yes to what you want, Lord. Yes to your purpose and your pathways and what you have prepared and planned for my life and my family in 2026. Everybody say yes. See, the calling is what we're made for. A career is what you get paid for. The calling is eternal. The career is temporary. Because I'm looking at people who have retired from their careers or changed their careers. So it's temporary. It's the only permanent thing in your life is the call of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we have it up here, Romans 11, 29. For the gifts and what? Calling of God are what? Irrevocable. So we often say the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, irreplaceable, and irreversible. Everybody say irrevocable, irreplaceable, and irreversible. So when we woke up January 1st, 2026, with our eyes open and breathing and having life to live, we know that he has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. We should know that God, until he calls us home, we have to fulfill the calling for us now. Not later, now. And we have to, through the communion covenant, ground every objection or rejection to the call. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the call has to be answered. Just like God did with Jeremiah, he will do the same and even more for us because we're in Christ. He will put his hand on our mouth. He will put his words in our mouth. He will put his vision in our heart and in our minds. He will provide. Somebody say, praise God. He will send provision for the vision that he's given us for this year. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Christ and in God, we're called to find, we're called to follow, and we're called to fulfill three purposes. We all have universal purpose. Everybody say universal purposes. Now we're going to talk about that later this month. Our universal purposes is we do the greats, the three greats, the great commitment, the great commandment, the great commission. That's what we all have in common as Christians, believers, and Christ followers. We are to find, we are to follow, and we are to fulfill our universal purpose. Everybody say universal purpose. And then the next purpose is our united purpose. Everybody say united purpose, which is our local church and ministry assignment, our team that we are assigned to. Everywhere we've been appointed or assigned, we are anointed for a purpose, not to feel good or not to have goosebumps. You're to fulfill a purpose. United, you have a piece of the puzzle. You have a part to play in the church, your body part. And every part is necessary. Amen. Everybody say united purpose. Now, you can look at that as a family context, too, your personal family. Everybody has a part to play. If there's two Christians in that house, they share the responsibility for that house. If there's more, then you've got the advantage. Because two are better than one, and three, there's a threefold cord is not easily broken. So if you had three or more Christians, God's rule, God's reign, and God's responsibilities that he placed in your life should be shared and carried out for this year. Someone say, praise the Lord. There's nothing worse than Christians living together, but they're still in strife and division. Division means division or two or more visions. And Jesus said, a house divided against itself won't stand. A kingdom or church are divided or family. So he says he started with a house. So the house represents your house, your family. There should be one vision for that house. Shared responsibilities amongst the Christians, born again believers and members of that family, but one vision. Praise the Lord. So I said, hallelujah. Everybody say united purpose. So we'll talk more about that, the mission and commission that we have as a church, and agreements and alignments that we need to have as a church, because it doesn't work when everybody's got their own opinion and preference. We all have to see it. We all have to believe it. We all have responsibility to build it. And then thirdly, the unique purpose. Everybody say unique purpose. That's your own giftedness, your own graces, your own God-given abilities. That is your placement in the body, your placement in the church. What is your part? We're all responsible for what? Just like Brother Fred was teaching on stewardship responsibilities. When we labor and we lead and we love, it takes responsibility. Everybody say responsibility. So we can relinquish it or we can assume it. And accept it individually. Who does the Lord want you to win to the body of Christ this year? Because your assignment is never apart from His. So the Lord has somebody for you to minister to witness to, hallelujah, to share your faith with. So who is your faith responsible to believe the Lord and trust the Lord to come into the kingdom with a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Or witness to. That's why we always say you want to practice daily. Say, Lord, what's my assignment? Because you want to give your time to God and give time to prayer. So you can hear from him and see, okay, I want you to talk to that person. You might be in HEB. You might be at Walmart. You might be wherever. But God doesn't want you to live a blessed life and never be bothered by his burden for souls. He wants you to witness. He wants you to work. He wants you to worship. Those are responsibilities. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So you have a unique purpose. What am I supposed to, who am I supposed to believe into the kingdom? What am I supposed to give? What's my giving responsibility? What's my partnership responsibilities this year? Now, for everybody, everybody should be at least at the starting point of tithes and offerings. And then whatever percentage is between you and the Lord. And God's a God of increase, so he never keeps you stagnant or declining. That's not God's will. He wants to get you more, but he needs you to trigger his hand by giving more. So he wants you to have more, but so you can do more. You can't do more if you're just making it week to week, hand to mouth. There's nothing more you can do. God can't use you if you don't have any extra. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And you'll see it next week. We endeavor to have all the giving statements records ready next week for this last year. And you can see, and the folks on the lead team, you'll see the we'll look at year over year results and see our trends. Amen. God doesn't want us to do less. Y'all here? Y'all going home? Or y'all listening to the other crowd of the other church? Y'all here? God's vision is he wants you to have a financial vision. For many of us, get out of debt. Pay stuff off so you can have margins so he can use you. Thank you. Amen. But he doesn't want you to buckle down he wants you to have more. He wants you to save more. He wants you to get more return on your investment, but he wants to do it through the kingdom way, through the gospel way. So as you get increased in your career or your situation, you increase your giving. And therefore, God helps you increase your living and increase your using you as an instrument of generosity. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So God has a number for you. You got to see it. You got to believe it. You got to build it. When you see that this tithe, this offering that's increased in your house, this is not for us to just have more. It's us to give more and do more. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, this is part of your unique purpose. Praise the Lord. We invite many of you to read the Bible with us for a whole year. Some of us, it's a little bit tougher than others. But that God wants you to grow more in your faith and be more faithful. You can't be faithful unless you start with his word. Because he's faithful principally and primarily to his word. And if he's faithful to his word, he wants you to be like him and be faithful to his word as well. So you read the Bible every day. Somebody say, praise God. You read the Bible and you pray every day and you grow. And whatever your gift and calling is in uniqueness, he wants you to grow in that gifting and grow in your serving and offering up to God and to others so they can enjoy it. Think about a fruit tree. If you never bear any fruit, nobody can enjoy it. Same with a Christian who never grows and develops fruit. It's not for you to eat. You ever see a fruit tree? Apples and oranges, peaches. You see it ever eat its own peach? Why are you supposed to grow fruit? For other people to enjoy. Other people come and, oh, this looks so ripe and rich and good, delicious. The Bible says in John chapter 15, herein my cloth is glorified. Verse 12, when you bear much fruit and that your fruit remain or lasts. we don't want you coming into church with rotten fruit. Worms coming out of it. But every Sunday, every Wednesday, fresh fruit. Because that fruit is by you growing, you cultivating the gifts and fruits of the Spirit in your life. And those things, we start, oh man, you look good. You taste good. Why? Because the Lord has been good to you. Because you're growing. You're cultivating. You're developing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Y'all get what I'm talking about? Everybody say it with me again. Universal purpose, united purpose, and unique purpose. All of us have all three. Now let me go back and read verse 4 through 8 again. Let me read verse 4 through 8, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 8. And before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before you were a twinkle in your grandparents' eye and your parents' eye, you were known by God. So God already knew when you were going to be born. None of you are accidents. God knew you. He knew you were coming to earth. He even knew how long you're going to be here. And you're here in 2026, so he knows what he's already authored and planned for you this year. Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me this morning. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That means God already has the plan. He said, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nation. So remember, the calling is what you were made for. A career is just what you get paid for. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then he said, ah, oh, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm a youth. He gives an objection like many of us do. Say, I can't do this. I don't know enough. I don't have enough. I'm too old. I'm retired. I got a terminal illness. Hogwash. You're still living. God wants to use you. And he has a call on your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Do not say I'm a youth. So he wants, first of all, get you to talking right. That's the reason, and I appreciate Sister Elizabeth printing those out for us. We got those 2026 confetti, because you got to talk right. Things won't go right this year if you're not talking right. You can't talk like you're still in 2023. This is 2026. You can't talk the same as you were in 2024. You can't talk even 2025. What are the words that are supposed to be coming out of my mouth in 2026? He says, don't say that you can't do something. Don't say your limitation or your lack. I'm unlimited. Praise the Lord. Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak for I'm a youth, but the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, for you shall go and to all. To who? It first starts with people. God calls you to a people or to a person with a plan. Praise the Lord. He said, go. To all I send you, for wherever I command you, you shall what? That's what we take communion for today. Lord, whatever you tell me to say, I'm going to say. Wait a minute. You telling me, Pastor, I had some mouth slippage. I had some mouth control issues already. It's the 4th of January. I've slipped with my lip. I didn't keep a grip on my lip. I let it slip. I got up January 1st, and I was grumbling, mumbling, and stumbling because too many fireworks went off till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. The neighbors popped fireworks next to me, got fireworks in my grass. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Went to the grocery store on the 1st or the 2nd. It was super crowded. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Perhaps you woke up this year, this new year, negative. the table tells us, get positive. Don't say nothing until the Lord commands you to say it. So we got to say, Lord, I give you control. We got to go to Psalms 39:1 and pray that prayer again. Psalms 39:1 says, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth as a bridle while the wicked are before me. The devil wants each one of us to slip and lose grip on our lip. Why? Because everything gets done by speaking. If you start speaking negative at the beginning of the year, the devil rubs his hands. All the demons rejoice because now they're excited because you gave them permission to wreak havoc in your life the rest of the year. Get a vision for your mouth and let your faith and your mouth do its duty this year. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Are y'all here? Y'all going home already? We just in Jeremiah chapter 1. Okay. All right. But the Lord said to me, I'm not a youth. He said, whatever I command you, you shall speak. Look at verse 8. Do not be what? Afraid of their faces. Today at the communion table. We terminate shame. We've got to terminate embarrassment. We've got to terminate this nervous twitch that maybe we carried from 2025. We've got to terminate fear. We can't be afraid of their faces. And sometimes the faces are people in our family. You hear things, you had Christmas or New Year's Eve or holiday dinners and people said some things and spoke out some things in front of you, and you were ashamed to stand up for the gospel. Don't be afraid of their faces. Because when God tells you to speak, it's not always easy, and it's not going to be comfortable, and everybody's not going to jump up and down and say, oh my God, I'm glad you said that. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Everybody say, don't be afraid. So we ground intimidation, cowardice, and fear right now, this day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, for I am, God says, I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Then he tells Jeremiah in this scripture here, Jeremiah 1, 11, 12. He said, then the Lord said to me. So he first dealt with his mouth, then he dealt with his eyes. Look, Jeremiah, what do you see? Now, some of you might honestly say this morning, I don't see anything. I want you to receive this like he's talking to you directly. Look, Ed, what do you see? That's my name. Look, what do you see? God wants you to see well. He wants you to see it, what he has planned. He wants you to see what he has purposed for you this year. He wants you to see it. He wants you to believe it. He wants you to build it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What do you see? Because what you see in this context is what you get. We'll elaborate on that later. And I replied, I see a branch of the almond tree. And the Lord said, right. It means that I'm watching and I will certainly carry out all my plans. What is he telling you? I will certainly carry out all my plans. Now this tree, this almond tree, represents a vision that God gave Jeremiah, a vision to confirm his calling. He does not want any of us to go around saying, well, I wonder what's going to happen to us this year. I wonder what's going to be coming of us. Stop it. That's not supposed to happen like that. God is not haphazard or just out of control where you people say this phrase, you never know what God's going to do. Anybody ever heard that? People say that in a religious, pious expressions, thinking that, well, God, we can't figure God out. But God is inviting us today to say, I've got a plan already worked out for 2026. Somebody say, praise the Lord. For you, for your family, and for your future and your church family. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the almond branch, tree branch, buds early in the season, announcing the arrival of spring and life. Here it is, God is ready to perform his word and carry out his plans through Jeremiah. When we take communion, we're going to say, Lord, you're ready to carry out your plans through me, my family, my church family. Lord, you're ready and willing to carry out all your plans through my life, my family's life, and my church life. Amen. And he doesn't want us to talk against the plan. He wants to come into alignment with the plan. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, next slide. Then we'll take communion. So God has a good plan for us. Everybody say, God has a good plan for us in 2026. Now come on again. Tell somebody next to you. Say, God has a good plan for you and me in 2026. Come on, tell somebody else, God has a good plan for me and you in 2026. Now, what do you got to do? You got to see it. You got to believe it. And you got to build it. Follow his plan. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. New Living Translation says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Context is important, brothers and sisters. He said, how do you get this plan? Do I have to develop it? Do I have to get a 3-page plan sheet and write down everything in my brain? No. You have to discern, you have to discover, you have to download, and you have to develop it. I'll say it again. You have to discern. You have to discover it. In other words, see it clearly, and then download it, because it's already been worked out by God. Our job is not to create a plan, but we by faith see, believe, and receive his plan. His plan. He already has a plan. Look at verse 12 and 13. Then you shall call to me. Because you know I have a plan, what's our action? Call to me, talking about the Lord. And you shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken to you, and you shall seek me and find me when you have searched with me with all your heart. So when does God hear you? When you pray. This requires our faith and confident expectation and our earnestness. So when we take the communion table, we say, I'm going to pray. This week, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to get clarity and clarification from God, my Father. Somebody say, hallelujah. When do you find God? When you seek him and search for him with all your heart, because you have to believe that God has a good plan for you. When do you find it? When you seek him with all your heart. Now, don't tell me you can't seek him, because many times we can Google search stuff until the nth degree. Find all kind of stuff. We will even listen to AI tell us stuff. And we're quick to believe AI, or maybe we're not, but we got to be quick to believe God. So we're going to have to put some stuff into motion that we pray and seek God for his plan. Because if you don't see it, you don't have it clear yet. The plan exists, but you got to see it. And then you got to have faith in your heart to say, I believe it. I receive that plan. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We're talking about technical things that you do, practical things that you do when you take communion and say, Lord, I'm committing to follow your plan, to discover your plan this year. God has what he wants you to be, who he wants you to be and become. That's one big part. And then another part is what he wants you to do. It's usually be before do, because he called Jeremiah and said, I called you to be a prophet, to have a voice that has authority over nations and governments and princes and kings. That's your assignment. And you won't be afraid of their faces. And don't be afraid. Do not talk about being in fear. Somebody say, praise God. So it's always who before do. Who does he want you to be and become? And what does he want you to do? Oh, this is good stuff. So you have to believe that God has a superior and better plan for your family, you, your family, your future in 2026 than you ever had. You have to trust God and release your faith in God that he will give you his glorious good plan in 2026. God's plan is not retribution, but restoration, recovery, and renewal. He said, I know the plans I have. Therefore, your welfare, your well-being, not your good, not your calamity, not your destruction. So some people are afraid to seek God because they think God's going to pay me back or give me retribution for all the things I messed up in 2025. His plan is good. His plan is greater. His plan is glorious. Somebody say hallelujah. And so when you find that plan, you find out it's restoration. He wants to get you back to where you need to be. He wants to get you back to what you are to be doing for him, his kingdom, and the church. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He wants to get you back to being renewed in your strength and in your spirit in 2026. That you don't go through 2026 tired and troubled and tensious and in trauma. He wants you to live in victory, blessings, and triumph. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So three truths, and we'll close here, that know about God's glorious good plan. God has a plan. Everybody say, God has a plan, and it's good. Come on, lift your hands and thank God that he has a plan, and it's good. Now, he has time associated with the plan, and it's this year, 2026, this season, this month. What's your plan, Lord? What's my assignment? God deals with simplicity and clarity, not complicated and unclear or cloudy and confused. The plan is clear. The plan is simple. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And the plan, thirdly, the plan of God is expected but not guaranteed. You've got to be involved in it. Amen. Everybody say, I've got to be involved in it. So how does God unfold and unveil his glorious plan to us? By giving us vision. We have to see it. We have to believe it. We have to build it with him in 2026 and beyond. We cannot get stuck in the past or become stagnant because of what has happened in 2025 or even 2024. We've got to get clarity and focus on what matters now and what matters most important for us in 2026 and for the plan and the will of God in our lives and in our future. Amen. Last scripture, Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What is this word telling us? Proverbs 29:18. It says in the New Living Translation, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Uh-oh. If I don't get divine guidance now, early in the year, I'm going to run wild with the rest of my year. I'm not going to know what to do every day and every week. I'm not going to know what my assignment is for the month or for the season and the hour that I'm in. I'm going to run wild. I'm not going to have any constraints or control in my belief and my behavior because I'm going to be all over the place, scattered, shattered, and shut down. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. He said, when the people do not accept. So, Lord, we kneel at the table and we accept divine guidance so that we don't run wild this year. He said, but whoever obeys the law is joyful. I want to keep my joy full this year. Amplified Classic says it this way, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. In other words, what I'm trying to see is him. I'm trying to see him, his plan. Know him as my Lord, what he has to offer, what he's inviting me to this year, 2026. Somebody said, hallelujah. The people perish. He said, well, you don't have a redemptive revelation of God because it has to be redemptive. You shouldn't be revealed God as a meanie, as an ogre, as someone, and we just got finished reading Revelations last month and last year, and you see all the horrible things happen. So people get a twisted vision. Don't, everybody say, don't get it twisted. Don't get distorted. And don't be distracted. Clear vision means I'm focused. I see clearly who God is, what God wants for me, what God plan, what the plan that God has for me. Amen. The people perish, but he that keepeth the law of God includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up there next week, guys. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.